This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I welcome you once again to a live broadcast on our page One Allah, Allah is One and Only. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the subject that I wish to discuss today is very sensitive to some people. Especially the people who are living in the West, or the people who have been influenced greatly by the culture of the West, or the Western culture. But before I even disclose this subject, I wish to begin by stating the following. We believe in certain elements of unseen. We call them pillars of Iman. The belief in Allah, angels, books, messengers, Day of Judgment, and the predestination, Al-Qadr khayrihi wa sharrih. And the belief in these elements of the unseen, which all of them are unseen to us, ghaib. So the belief in these six elements of unseen, of al-ghaib, we don't see Allah, we don't see the angels, we don't see the books revealed, we didn't see the messengers. The Day of Judgment is not here yet. We do not see the levels of al-qadr. But the belief and the firm belief in these elements must be reflected in the way that we act, in the way that we conduct our lives. One of these elements is the belief in the angels. We believe that there are angels. If they are present in our lives, then there is peace, there is tranquility, there is serenity. Their presence normally is khayr, is something that is good. And we believe also, in the same token, in jinn. And the presence of the jinn, the evil of them, would mean evil, would mean bad thoughts, would mean anxiety, would mean fighting, would mean, and the list goes on. The total opposite to the impact of the presence of the angels in our lives. So now, that is why we're encouraged to do the things which will keep the angels around us. Like dhikrullah, for example, like walking to the masajid, attending the salah, and so forth. And we stay away from the things which may prevent the angels from being around us. And one of these is to have a dog in the house. You see, that's why I started with the statement that it is a little bit sensitive to some of you. Now, what is the evidence? Because now I have to have a text, Quran or Sunnah, to establish the fact that the angels are not going to enter into the house if there is a dog in it, because this is unseen. Like I said, I do not see the angels with my naked eye. I just believe that they are present when I do certain things, and they will be absent when I do certain things. في سنن ابن ماجة. And when we say Sunan ibn Majah, we must seek the authentication of one of the experts of hadith. I will use Sahih al-Albani, Sahih al-Jami', Sahih ibn Majah, al-Sheikh al-Albani. The narrator is Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَا تَدْخُلُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ كَلْبٌ وَلَا صُورَةٌ. Indeed, verily, angels will not enter a house in which there is a dog or a picture of a living creature. That would mean human being, animals, birds, fish, and in the same token, statues. Surah is kullu ma tasawwar. So right here, brothers and sisters in Islam, imagine this. You insisting on having a dog inside the house would lead to you missing on angels inside the house, and consequently, if angels are not present, that means who's present? Jinn are present, because we know hadithul nawm, when we go to sleep at night and we recite ayatul kursi, qissat Abi Huraira al-mashhura, what happened? The jinn leave and an angel comes and takes his place. If you don't, then the angel leaves and the jinni comes and takes his place. This is why, brothers and sisters in Islam, you may not experience tranquility and serenity in the house. Not only this, في صحيح الإمام مسلم حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من اقتنى كلبا ليس بكلب صيد ولا ماشية ولا أرض فإنه ينقص من أجره قيراطان كل يوم. Whoever has a dog in his house, raises a dog in his house, this dog is not a hunting dog or a herding dog, a dog that you use to help with herding your flock of sheep or flock of animals, or a guarding dog, a dog that guards your farm. This person will lose from his reward 2 qirat every single day. So losing, imagine you go and you pray and you fast and you do all these type of good things, and yet you end up losing the reward. وفي another wording of this hadith, also صحيح الإمام مسلم, حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما, من اقتنى كلبا إلا كلب ماشية أو كلب صيد نقص من عمله كل يوم قيراط. وفي لفظ كلب حرث, اللي هو ايه, حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عند مسلم as well. Again the same wording, the loss of rewards in case if you do that. I'm focusing on dogs here because the subject is a little bit sensitive, but does this mean, brothers and sisters in Islam, that we are anti-dogs? We don't, what is the deal here? Brothers and sisters in Islam, what we're talking about here is dogs have their own dog life. and human have their own human life. But this culture of raising dogs and taking them to the doctors and giving them clothes and replacing children in our lives is not a Muslim practice. Dogs have their own lifestyle. We should maintain this for them. Add to this, the culture also of, the dog licking the vessel from which we eat. We have to clean it. And now you cannot question that, because this is something that we were told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the fact that it is in our revelation, that means there must be some chemicals which will affect our health. Before we eat from that vessel, we have to clean it up seven times, one of them with clean dust, the turab, the dirt. Of course, being dog phobe, I call those, having phobia about dogs, should not be either, because especially Muslims who are living in the West, having a phobia in the sense of when a dog comes near you, you run away, and as a matter of fact, if the dog licks your clothes, your wudu is still valid. All what you have to do is just remove that saliva with any liquid water. Or if he licks your hand, your wudu is still valid. You just have to remove the saliva one time, not seven times. The seven times applies only to the eating vessel, the containers, the utensils, or the things that we use for eating. That is what is meant by it. Another thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, which prevent the angels from entering into our homes, certainly is the pictures of the statues, the pictures of the living individuals. That would include human, that would include fish, that would include animals. All of these brothers and sisters in Islam, we should stay away from them, because they again prevent angels from entering this house. And the most famous hadith in this regard is hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, when Jibreel alayhi salam did not show up for an appointed time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was a picture hanging there, tasawir. So we should stay away, brothers and sisters in Islam, from such practices. We're Muslims. And again, our belief in the unseen, which would include the belief in Allah, the belief in the hereafter, the belief in the angels, the belief in the jinn, the belief in the books, the belief in the messengers, the belief in the destiny. All of this should impact the way that we conduct ourselves and should impact our behavior in this world. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this does not mean that we don't take care of animals. This does not mean that we care for animals. We understand from our Sharia that a prostitute went to Jannah because of giving a drink to a dog. We understand from our Sharia that a woman who will go to hell because she was mean to a cat, she caged the cat, she did not allow this cat to eat or drink, or released her. She did not provide for her, nor she released her to eat. We know, brothers and sisters in Islam, there are certain etiquettes when we deal with animals, and anything that we do to serve a living creature, indeed, we get a reward for that. But there are certain areas we cannot transgress. There are certain areas we may be able to accommodate. And that's how a Muslim is. A Muslim lives his life in accordance with the Islam, the religion of Islam. Ad-dunya sijnul muslim, sijnul mu'min. The dunya is the jail of the believer. In the sense of what? It's fun. A believer is having a good time, I'm telling you. It is not. Now, what is meant by a jail here, that before you scratch, you say, can I or not? هذا هو. There is a text that says, can I scratch or not? Before I have a dog, can I have a dog or not? Before I have a cat, can I have a cat or not? That's what is meant by سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والحمد لله رب العالمين.